Welcome guys, what's up? We're back to another episode of Meet the President or Meet Your President. And now we are in the, who can guess? We're in the prestigious faculty of law. Hey, the best faculty in University of Lagos, and that's on period. Nobody, no faculty comes close. No faculty comes close. So yes, we're currently in the LSS office and we're with the president of the Faculty of Law or Law Student Society, as you may wish. So yeah, but I'm not here alone. My name is Farida Afolabi, aka Fari for Real, and I'm here with
Farida. I know we are in your faculty, just take it easy. Faculty of First Choice is actually Faculty of Engineering, but we'll allow you guys out that today. So this interview is actually like very important, like very special, because last year it was only Faculty of Law we didn't cover among all the faculties in the University of Lagos. So this is the first time coming to the Faculty of Law, and I'm so excited, as you can see. So my name is still to the BI, Toby Oloro. And of course, we have the number one citizen, Abby. Yeah, so the number one person from the Faculty of Law, the president of the Law Student Society here today. And we'll be like gisting, talking, you know, I think we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Actually, we have a whole lot to talk about. But then before we get into that, we would like to meet Joshua.
Good evening. My name is Joshua Adeyeye, and I'm the president of the Law Student Society, University of Lagos, and I'm happy to have you guys here. Thank you.
All right, Joshua. We are actually very happy to have you, and for the first time in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can't wait to see what the Faculty of Law has for us. So, who actually motivated you to contest for the position of the president of this great faculty?
So, the drive, right, to run for this post actually came when I saw that, okay, there's a need to actually impact more students, especially in the academic sphere, right? I realized that majority of the students were struggling. I mean, particularly those from year one, year two, and some in year three as well. And I felt that when I was just the academic secretary for the previous administration, my sphere of influence was not really much, maybe because I only got to interact with people that came to meet me face to face and those that I take tutorial. And not all law students come for tutorial. So I decided to take up the challenge of, you know, aspiring to become the president. And I mean, by and large, I've been able to influence more lives than when I was the academic secretary. Another inspiration is to make, you know, some changes in the faculty as well. And this is in the area of, you know, helping students find their passion after, particularly considering the fact that here we only learn theoretical law. We only learn law as it is on the paper. Most people have the belief that lawyers end up going to court saying, "My Lord, my Lord, my Lord." But I want to show them that law actually transcends the four walls of the courtroom. You know, you can intern at law firms, you can have access to unlimited opportunities, you can work in bank, you can even work with an oil company. So these are some of the things I want to expose law students to. So these are the twin pillars of what motivated me to aspire for this post. Yeah,
I actually resonate with that, because so many people I miss now, they are like, "Oh, so now you're going to be doing my lord afterwards. Oh, you're going to go to court." Somebody told me I have anger issues and this is how I'm going to be fighting in court. I'm like, I don't even want to do litigation in the first place, and they don't believe that you don't have to do litigation as a lawyer. So yeah, I hope everybody is here and learns now. So I want to take us back a little bit to campaign. What were your manifesto, or what comprised of your manifesto? And are you sticking to them now, or you have new set goals?
Well, thank you for that question. So basically, my manifesto, I highlighted that, okay, first and foremost, I'm here for academics excellence or academic excellence, in that I want students to, you know, law students in particular, to excel academically. And also I mentioned the provision of internet. Yeah, I also mentioned hosting, you know, competitions in furtherance of harnessing legal skills and other things like that. So yeah, I'm sticking to what I stated in my manifesto. For example, we are currently hosting a national essay competition that is going to get entries from different universities and law students. Basically, we are also currently hosting a national moot and debate competition. Moot is basically a simulation of court proceeding where students come to argue, like may it please this court, announcing appearance. And then we also have debate that will help law students to be able to, you know, sharpen their advocacy skills, you know, so that when they leave here, they are able to stand out wherever they go, right? And for the internet, we have actually made progress in providing or installing the internet. I think it was last month, 22nd January 2024, we visited Yemisi Shilon, the greatest art collector. He was also the one that put this, you know, Lady Justice in front of the faculty, and he pledged to actually make contribution to the provision of Starlink for the Faculty of Law. But all of a sudden, we saw that the faculty, through CIT, has brought an internet. Although it's not covering everywhere, it only covers Maldrum, LLM, and I think the administrative units. So what we are trying to do now is to maybe reduce the coverage so that we don't have double internet supply, right? So the internet we're going to be bringing now is only going to cover the lounge and possibly this office as well. So I've been seeking towards is to, and they also work in ply. They also plan in motion to get internship slot for law students from law firms such as Aluko Anoye Bode, Banwo Igudalo, JLIs and Co, Udo Udomabelu Osage, and a host of other top tier firms. Yeah. So yeah, we are working in line with the letters and the spirit of what is contained in my manifesto. And I'm also happy that my executives are also, you know, working to ensure that, you know, virtually everything that we stated in the manifesto have been actualized at the end of the day. And I must commend them. They've been effective and very efficient so far. Yeah.
So yeah, I want to come to problems that we law students are facing. So last semester or last session, when we're writing our final exams for the last session, some students had problems with course registration. Some people had problems with attendance issues, you know, and some people got carryovers from that. They were not able to register their courses, or they were not able to meet up with attendance. So I would say personally, I had an attendance issue. I feel like everybody knew that I had an issue with my attendance last semester. And it was because it was wrongly calculated, because I had evidence I was in class. I had just one more class for it to be complete. I think it was 64.2 or something like that. So I had one more class for it to be complete. And then when I went back to my Snapchat, I saw I was in class that particular day that they said I was absent. But they did not give me a chance for me to go back, you know, to review my attendance. So if this happens again, and I know I was not the only one, almost like a lot of people, I don't want to give any inaccurate figure, but a lot of people I know were affected by this and now have to rewrite it in second semester. So how or what did the LSS do? The LSS is supposed to stand up for us, speak for us, intercede for us. You know, what did the LSS do to curtail this? Or if this happens another time, this semester or next semester or some other time, what is the LSS doing to ensure that this does not occur again and that people or the students really feel like they have a voice for them?
All right. Again, thanks for that question. So, with respect to the first concern, which is as regards people having issues with their course registration, so I would say that problem is from CITS and is probably a technical issue. You know, for example, some people can have A and then they record E or something for them. So that is exclusively CITS problem, you know. Now, for attendance, thankfully, the dean has introduced a machine attendance that captures your biometrics or your thumbprints. And then, so for that, I believe that it's going to eradicate any issue with respect to human error that is inherent in manual calculation of attendance, right? And we've also been pushing for release of attendance. At least seeing is believing. You know, we are all doubting Thomas and want to see evidence of what we have been, you know, thumbprinting. And the dean has also promised that he's going to release the attendance as soon as possible. In fact, my last meeting with him was yesterday, and he said that they are doing home tidying. you know, that the attendance will soon, you know, come up. So let's expect the attendance. So when it comes up and there are any issues, then we can take it up from there.
Particularly, what is the assurance that when the attendance comes out, people are able to make resolutions? For example, when you see that you're not able to meet up with attendance for a particular course so that you can remove it, what is the assurance that when this result comes out, the portal will still be open for people to edit their courses?
Yeah, very, very, very brilliant question, because I know that some people were caught in that unpleasant situation last. In fact, it was really terrible. The course registration portal had closed and people were in a dilemma that what are you going to do? So this time around, thankfully, they've extended the academic calendar by 3 weeks, which I think even from Monday is still 3 weeks before it elapses. So the implication of that is if the attendance that we have in the faculty is released next week, I'm going to press for it, right? I mean, usually the custom in this school is that before exam, like 1 week to exam, they allow for editing of courses. So if the attendance does not favor you, you can remove it before that time. So by next week, I'm going to ensure that, or try my possible best to ensure that, you know, we actually release the attendance so that people can know their standing, you know, and know the way forward by the time, you know, and we can also lobby. I mean, that's why we are in this position. If, for example, they are not going to maybe open the portal because of the grace they've granted, you know, previously, we are going to talk to the DSA that, you know, people need this thing to be open so that they can remove courses that they can't sit exam for. Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask one last related question to attendance. There's the issue of people taking attendance for cancelled classes. I know countless times this semester we get the message that, oh, a class has been cancelled, but we still have to come to the faculty to take attendance. Or after the class has been cancelled and, you know, obviously I'm not coming to class, then later I get the message that, oh, we took attendance. And I'm like, I thought the rule was that you don't take attendance for a cancelled class. So what is the LSS doing about this?
All right. Thank you very much. You know, in as much as we have the LSS, when it comes to, you know, lecturer being in class and taking up attendance, we must also acknowledge the fact that the class rep for each level also has a shared responsibility in this regard, because I think there is maybe a break in communication between the class reps and the lecturer. So most of the time, even the class rep don't get the notice as to whether the lecturer will not come for the class. And so students would have been there, and then attendance people, you know, they work on orders, right? They work on timetable. Let me put it that way. They may not even get any information from the lecturer. They just go ahead and see that, you know. So I feel LSS is going to call on class reps, right, so that they can also sit up and know that they have the responsibility of ensuring that they get information from lecturers so that people don't just come to class, or maybe some of them would have even zeroed in their mind that lecturer is not coming, and then attendance would appear out of the blues and they will miss out on attendance. So, and again, another thing, this thing is also a blessing in disguise, particularly for those that would not have otherwise met the attendance, but because he continued, you know, that will count in their favor, right? But I love this observation. I'm going to call on the class representative so that we can have a proper discussion as regards this.
Okay, that's fine. When we entered, you made a joke that you had to go get your food before it is 8:30, or else you'll be served poison. So that means you know what is going on.
Obvious problem.
Honestly, about the food quality on campus right now.
Terrible.
Exactly. So, in your own capacity as the president of LSS, in conjunction with other faculty presidents, what are you guys doing, or what do you think you guys would do, or what do you have in mind to do in conjunction with other presidents to, like, make sure, like, you tackle this problem?
You know,
price control.
Yeah.
So, concerning this problem, in fact, I think this interview is an eye-opener for us, because there are so many things I have to go back, you know, and then tell my people that, the faculty reps, that these are some of the things we need to take. I remember in one of our meetings, we had a discussion about, you know, the quality of food. I think it was even to the hearing of the DSA. That was when they were planning to increase fees for hostels, because we were there in the meeting. And we mentioned things like, what can they do concerning the quality of food? And they said they have a body or a particular... is it council responsible for checking out, you know, food you know, across campus, they will taste it and they'll find out if the quality is okay and other things like that. But you also said we can't deny the fact that, you know, if the food, the quantity of food that you get from a particular place, let's say they sell their food very cheap, you cannot expect that it will be of high quality. Like Mama Put, for example, like Shop 10, you know, what you get there is very, like, it's still good. Like, it's actually good compared to Mavins and maybe other, you know, vendors like that. So we also have to bear in mind that, you know, these people with the increasing rate of, is it dollar and naira issue, you know, they might have to, you know, get, you know, some. But again, as regards the issue of poison, I said it was just as a result of the fact that when it's too late, you know, it's remnants that they will sell to you. That's what I call poison. Not, I buy food at Shop 10 and I don't purge. But when I bought at Mavis, that was even before I became the president, I stopped. Because anytime I buy there, I purge. You know, so I think it's something that we have to actually address, right? And about price control, we have to also look at the realities on ground. I think dollar to naira is, I think, 1.5 or thereabouts. So, but yeah, that does not mean they should cut our head off. Sometimes I can't even eat satisfactorily unless I spend 3K, 2.5, and an average person can't afford that, you know, obviously. And I'm talking about once, not twice or thrice. This thing I just bought is 2,000, and what is there, you know, is very light. So we have to also work on price control. So these are the two issues I'm going to table before faculty executives. One on the issue of the quality of food, and second on the issue of price control. So I mean, by maybe when next we meet, we'll have something to say concerning these two issues. Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, let's talk about faculty finances. I've never seen in my 6 years in this faculty that they are bringing a breakdown of, okay, our money or monies are being spent and all of that. And we pay one of the highest faculty fees. It's the highest, University of Lagos. We pay like, was it 13,000 or 16,000 the last time I paid this semester. So yeah, what is it going into? And this is just coming from a law student. I don't know what it is going into, to be very honest. I don't know why I'm paying that amount of money. So, like, how do we get... Is it an audit or a breakdown? This is what it's going into. You know, how our monies are being spent, basically.
Thank you. So, concerning this, I should bring to our attention that we host, you know, some programs. For example, we have Freshers Party. We have orientation program for them where we have to give them item 7. We have career fair. We have Law Ladies Day. We have Law Fiesta. We have our sport as well, Abiola Ojo Games. We also have these interchamber games. We have Law Dinner, which is the major, you know, social event. So the money, by the time I calculated it, that's apart from, you know, faculty dues is different from association dues. Out of that 14,000 naira that we pay as faculty dues, only 3K accrue to the LSS. And when I calculated the number per head, do you know it's not even up to 5 million. And what can that do? So maybe from the faculty level, I don't know whether there's any transparency or anything. But for the LSS, when I calculated, I think we're about 1.7. So 3K times about 1.7 students, that's like about 5 million or even less. Do you understand? And I mean, when we did some of these competitions I said we are hosting, I got sponsors from some of the connections I made with partners from law firms. So they are the one funding it fully. For the freshers party, we spent about, I think, 382,700,000. And that will come from the, you know, association dues, right? And for subsequent events, even I asked them to submit budget, career fair was like 3 million. So they have to get external, you know, funding, as well as maybe take some fraction of the faculties. When it comes to law dinner, I'm sure it won't be something that we'll even spend it will be more than 5 million, you know. So these are some of the things that we put. And if, you know, as regards financial audits, we can always provide is a public information. We keep accounts. In fact, I introduced a system of having, you know, a record of our monthly activities so that you two can see that, okay, this is, for example, we dropped one for January. For this February, we're going to drop another. And for subsequent months, apart from when we are on holiday, right? So that people can see that, okay, these are some of the things that we are doing, you know. And when we get sponsors, we highlight the name of the sponsor so that you know that, okay, this money is not from our purse. It's from what? a sponsor. Do you understand? So, but with respect to auditing, anytime, any day, you can walk up to us. We'll show you what we are using the money on. But like I've clarified, there's a dichotomy between faculty dues and association. It's only 3K per head that accrues to us as an association. Yes.
So, yes, I want to speak on, you spoke about dichotomy. Mm-hmm. I also want to speak on dichotomy between lecturers and students. So, I have noticed in other faculties, there's this affinity between lecturers and students, especially course advisors and students. I saw my younger sister, she's in management science, accounting. So she said that they were hosting a birthday party for their, or a surprise birthday or something for their course advisor. I said, I don't understand. I've never, do you know that? I've never met my course advisor. I've never met my course advisor before. Like, yeah. It's that bad. But they even have like a group chat, and this is actually the practice. It was a culture shock for me as a law student, and it is only law, at least on this campus, that you know we don't have a relationship with our course advisors. And I know that some students obviously have personal relationships with, you know, some lecturers, but there's just not this general culture. So, what do you think might be the problem? What's going on, or what can we do to foster it? I don't know, this is not an LSS problem, but like, what can we do? Why are students scared of law lecturers? Let me just put it that way.
Okay. You know, from even our parents, people get scared outside that, what was this code that these people are doing? You know, so the thing is that the profession is quite unique. It's not like every other professions, right? And it's everywhere. Yeah, I've been to LASU, I've seen how they, and some of my friends give me, you know, comment, apart from private universities that have law faculties, but law is something that, you know, most of the people that teach, they are big men. You know, I mean, we are even privileged in this faculty. We have many sons, even more than other faculty. We have many professors. We have people that wrote textbooks that other universities are using. So I feel that, I won't say it's an ego thing, but I feel that there's this level of respect that they carry themselves, that, you know, normally students would not want to like approach them, you know. But I think the way we can bridge that gap is by, you know, having programs or events where we can invite them. You know, so when we invite them for this, you know, they start relating more, you know, coming down to the level of student. I would also encourage students. You know, another issue is that look at what happened. I think it was in year three class that they seized the phone and it found its way to Twitter. These are some of the things that will make lecturers to be keeping distance, you know, from students. There are some occurrences that I see. I'm like, these things, rather than bringing them close, it's, you know, further widens or the gap. So we also have to speak to students. And these people are cool. I think it's when you interact with them and get close to them, that's when you know that they are just like humans that you can't. Not all of them will be friendly, of course, right? But some of them, they are approachable. So I think it's something that we also have to discuss with students, that these people, you should not see them as your enemy. Because when I came in year one, you know, I was aloof. Year two, I was aloof. Year three, I was like, you know, sometimes I can just assist a lecturer, and then, you know, from there we get talking and the person will say, oh, this and that. And I'm like, these people are humans too. They can actually interact. Yes. So sometimes when we don't have that encounter, we feel that they are up there and we are what? Down here. So we also have to enlighten students on how they can come close. But I don't know if you to get to the point of organizing a birthday for a course advisor. You know, in the legal profession, you know, we do a lot of laws of professional conduct and other things, conflict of interest, bias and other things. I even know of one of, you can't buy gifts for your lecturer. It's like bribe. It's in our criminal code. You know, even to say thank you, you can't do it. Maybe when you graduate and you come back, you may, or maybe it's so private that you people have, you know, a cordial relationship. But generally, these are some of the things that they observe strictly in the legal profession. But in other faculties, you know, it's more relaxed, you know, compared to our own. So again, to bridge that gap, we have to have events where we are doing it as LSS. Now, whenever they have a program, we help them put it on our page and we send it out. So that way, it creates some harmonious relationship between them and us. And from there, it comes down to the level of our student as well. Do you understand? Because when we have problem, when we run to them, is based on the fact that they've established some level of familiarity with us that we'll be able to respond what's quick. Do you understand? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. As for, I think there are also certain problems that the ex-schools should be able to solve. Like, I don't necessarily need to meet a lecturer.
Yes.
But I don't think I have personally felt the vibe that I can meet this person and this person can help me solve this problem. I mean, a lot of them, they're my class guys, obviously, but we're not really on that level. There's not been a neutral ground, you know, for me to feel like, okay, this is my ex-school. Like, I can meet them and say, oh, I have this issue. When I had my attendance issue, I don't think I was... I had to solve it myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't perceive that environment where it's like, there's no, for example, okay, you have an issue, you can send in an anonymous message, do you understand? Or you can miss this person or that. So can we see like a shift in it? Or I don't know if other people, I don't know if, I'm just speaking personally, if other people have, you know, testified to getting help from the LSS and all of that. So what can the LSS do to change this environment?
Yeah, so like getting help or help itself is a loose term or vague, right? And when you talk of help, it's cut across pecuniary help, which is offering money. It also cuts across non-pecuniary help, or you needing something, are we able to provide it for you? So about getting help, some people walk up to us here, right? And we attend to them. Some, we even have a couple of them, apart from just to stray off some, we have missing items. People submit these, and when they are looking for it, we publicize that, oh, we found your item, we'll come and pick it up. And sometimes they would tell us that, oh, they have challenge with maybe their classmates, that can we help them resolve it? So like, we've had even remedial students, I mean, people that schooled in other universities that had to come here, some of them come to meet us that, oh, a friend took my power, but I never came back. We have to reach out to, you know, to the person, like, why would you carry his power bank, that kind of thing. So in the little way we can, we try as much as possible to, you know, help students, right? And about attendance, there was one boy that came and he was like, oh, he lost his dad and something like that. You know, helping can also be we providing, you know, a leeway or how you can access the appropriate authority and what manner or how should you what go about it, right? So sometimes our help may be advisory in that we just tell you how to do something, and sometimes we may intervene directly. But as you have raised this point, I think we have to probably create an email address that will be dedicated for that sole course, right? So that people that cannot walk up here can, you know, channel their complaints or anything they have through that email address. In fact, Lambs brought up the idea last week and already told her to, but I don't know why she hasn't. I will remind her and follow up on that. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking on that, I'll talk about like sexual assault in the faculty or physical assault. In the past couple of weeks, I've heard of a couple. I don't want to mention anything, you know. I'm not the victims or anything, and I don't have the specific facts. But how does the faculty react to these cases? I don't know if there have been any formal complaints given. There's also the fear of, I think what really is the problem with a lot of law students, the fear of not going to law school or the fear of facing panel. Because when I had issues, everybody said, don't stress, don't complain, don't do this, don't you want to go to law school? So everybody's afraid. So even if anything happens, everybody's like, okay, I don't want to do this. Because the girl, especially, I told her that if you want to escalate this issue, I'm going to be right behind you. I believe you. And she said, no, I want to go to law school. Do you understand what I'm saying? So like, how can victims really be protected? Or people that are laying complaints, people that are aggrieved, I think that's the best word. How are they going to be protected from this? Why are the rules so strict that even if you are facing panel, whether you are the aggressor, whether you are the aggrieved, everybody will not go to law school? Like, what are these rules?
So, to the best of my knowledge, right, I don't think the victims are the one facing panel. I've never... You just lodge the complaints, and then they will take down the matriculation number and probably the name of the assailant, and they contact the person later to come and appear. So it is the assailant that should be kept in that prison of fear, not the complainant. I don't think you have any issue at all. And concerning sexual harassment, we are students, and I don't think we can undo such delicate. So in fact, we might even be taking sides. If you know the person that is the assailant, you might want to say, I don't, you know, go ahead and that kind of thing. But the channel that has been provided, in fact, one of our lecturers here is the head of this campaign against sexual harassment, you know, in the University of Lagos, right, Dr. Osho, right? So if you have sexual harassment complaint, you can go to the dean. They will not mute you. In fact, the dean, anything, he will write your name down and ready to send you to panel. You know our dean, he would write your name down. So I don't think anybody should be silent. If you have genuine one guy came to meet me and he said he hugged the lady and the lady went to Alpha Base to report. And Alpha Base asked him to come down there and he wrote a note under duress. And he brought a copy of the note. You know, until he went to meet the sub-dean and the dean and he was like, oh, and thank God there was CCTV camera. It happened in front of this place. And eventually it was vindicated that he was just, he didn't even know, and he was not even hug. He was just passing and his hand hit the girl and the girl took it as, you know, per sexual harassment. You know, in as much as we try to say, okay, victims should voice out, there are some cases that they have to be strictly scrutinized so that we don't punish, you know, an innocent person for something he or she did not do. Do you understand? So if they have any sexual harassment complaint, the dean's office is there, even Dr. Shaw, the head, would take it up. You know, in fact, I remember the anonymous issue that was that happened. In fact, the dean, upon citing just comments about that can lead to sexual harassment, if you see the way he took the matter up, how much more when it's a real case of sexual, and you have like substantial, I mean, it may happen in private, so just like rape. And that's why they said proving rape is like, you know, the camel trying to pass through the eyes of the needle. You know, it's difficult. But if you have substantial evidence or something that you can use to prove it. I know that in this faculty, some lecturers have been taken and they've been shown the way out of this faculty just because of sexual harassment. So there are strict policy, both by the university and even by the faculty, against sexual harassment. So if you have any complaints, just walk up to the appropriate authority.
So yeah, let's ease it up a little bit. What is your relationship with people that you ran against during the last election?
What
is your relationship with them? Like, how are you guys sharing ideas, or is bye bye since the elections we don't speak anymore?
So one thing about me is that generally in life I just believe that, you know, fate, you're more in Yoruba. If when I was running, I was not a do or die affair, right? Even during that time, I still greet my opponents, you know, if I may put it that way. And after the election, we still, especially Naomi, we still see, and even Duben, we still, you know, shake hands. But I think about your bringing up ideas, I think I have to rub minds with them. Maybe some of the plans they have, if they are willing to share with us, so that maybe we can implement it. After all, it's for the good of the, you know, entire faculty. Do you get? So yeah, not like I'll see them coming from you know, this place and then I'll pass the other way. No, we are still pals, right? Of course, before the election, I wasn't so close with Dubem. In fact, I just see him as the guy that comes to class. It was Naomi that we have like a very good rapport, and even after the election, we still even joke around, yeah, to each other, yeah.
I think I have two more questions. The first one is, what do you want your legacy to be after you leave here? Your legacy.
Okay.
Or what do you think people would actually like remember you for? If at all, they can't even remember everything you did in this faculty. I'm talking about when you leave here. So,
okay.
What are those things you are looking for? So that, yeah, even when I'm out of here, then I would have left a particular mark on this.
Okay. So, as regards leaving a legacy, first and foremost, the impact on like individual life, you know, will continue to resonate even after leaving, you know, the office. And more importantly, the two competitions I said we are currently hosting is the maiden edition. So it is something that will forever etch an indelible mark in the mind of, you know, the people that even come after us. I mean, the subsequent administration will be able to continue with 2.0. of that particular, you know, event, and I'm willing to show them the way of how they could also still continue to link up with our sponsors so that they can continue with events. Another thing is the Wi-Fi, you know, at least for lounge, I know there's no Wi-Fi at the moment. So thank Providence that they've brought an internet that's extended to the other classrooms. So the one that we're also going to bring to the lounge and the office is also going to be something that, you know, people will be able to, you know, use to like remember us when we leave, but more importantly, the impact on, you know, lives.
So, a very short question. How accessible are you?
Okay. So about how accessible I am accessible. When it comes to this door, the knock, I open. But maybe on WhatsApp, because I limit my screen time, you know, social media and all that, because I realize that, okay, as a person, I get distracted, particularly in the midst of all these activities, you know. If I on social media and I post and, you know, all those things, I start wasting my time. So you can see my WhatsApp, I can have over 1,500 messages, you know, and, you know, but when people come here and then I see them, you know, I'm able to. And sometimes I also make the effort of, you know, replying to chats, particularly from students, you know. Some people ask me questions on WhatsApp, and then when I'm less busy at night, I go over them and then reply to them. So with respect to accessibility, in fact, during when it's close to test, exam, I try to do like general revision tutorial, you know, if you need this or that, you know, that's, yeah. So I'm accessible. You can ask all these guys, yeah, just ask anybody that, have you met Joshua this week? They will tell you, yes. You know, apart from maybe some that lock themselves in the library that don't come out. But people that come around the faculty, they see me. Not like I'm just stationary or I'm somewhere that nobody can access, yeah. So.
At least we've been talking well recently, yeah, and you've been replying well. But talking about that WhatsApp, I think that almost caused like a kind of issue between yourself, your campaign team, you and what's up in lag. That was about a month ago. Yeah. You want to talk about that?
We have laid it to eternal rest now. We have laid the matter to eternal rest. But as at that time, you know, I think you chatted me up, right? And then there was no response. And then I was expecting that, okay, if you chat somebody up and the person did not reply, you probably give them a call to like inform them that, oh, this is the issue, right? So that I can, at least I don't think I've missed any important appointments. If even FO, that's faculty officer, or the secretary to the dean, when they send message on WhatsApp and they will call. And then I pick your call. Or when I see it's a missed call, I know that it's important. And then I call you back. So the next time you try to reach me on WhatsApp, and because of the numerous messages I get, and I can't really see, you know, you can send text message or, you know, make a phone call. I'll see it. And then I'll call you back. So,
I didn't think that I needed to, you know, do any extra activity, especially as I sent the same message to everybody. And they responded like immediately, but that's fine. I just want to say that you apologized to me in person, like we had a discussion, but you never apologized to me publicly. Do you understand? Because like I said, you did set me up for drugs or bullying. I was on a campaign group and I saw everything. Like, I don't think people, maybe uni I was on the group, but those other people that were talking, they did not know that I was on the group, and I saw everything. And then people were saying, oh, people were calling me cloud chaser. Someone particularly in my class said, oh, that if they're looking for sponsors, that they should talk. They should not just bring up drama from nowhere. And I'm like, that is unnecessary, especially because I never lied. Like, there was no reason for that. Do you understand? So I expected that you, especially as the principal of that group or the campaign, you should have set it straight that, okay, this was what happened, now we have resolved it. Do you understand? There was no room for you to keep the environment open for them to insult me or keep on dragging me. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Like, if we have an issue and I realize, oh, I was wrong or there was a misunderstanding, and you go ahead to say, oh, this is what happened, like, please apologize to this person, especially as she's not at fault.
So, yeah, about that matter, like I said, when you went ahead to screenshots and, like, it was not there, it's normally people that will not support you, they have already have like a misconception already that, oh, this person is never available. So now going there to say he was not there, if other gives them this, that, ah, you see what we are talking about. It's not so. You also have to, you know, like defamation. In let me borrow the dictum of the court in Sketch Publishing Co. and Alhaji Ajagunmiokeferi, where the court said, it's not what you intend, it's what the reasonable person, what goes on in the right-thinking member of the public. People were messaging me too, and like, ah, so you did not attend the interview, you know? And I was like, what do you mean by interview? So I feel that the genesis of the problem was the fact that you should not have said anything about maybe the person that asked you, you would have just responded privately, and that matter would not have escalated too. So we both demand public apology. So telling me to apologize is like saying that, oh, I acted the wrong way. When you put something in public and I also put something to set the record straight, you now want me to publicly apologize. You know, it's going to look as if, oh, I was the one on the wrong. And I don't think it's going to work.
It's fine. I think the problem here is there were three guys contesting for that post and we had two people on the show. And it looks like we are already picking sides. And right. So it was actually very important that I set the record straight that, yes, this is what happened. We reached out to every one of them, but one person didn't get back to us, which we don't know. So, and you claimed that you didn't see the message, and I think that's bygone. So it's all fine. And yeah, we are again, right? And you are the LSS president now, and we're here to interview you as well. So, and it's fine seeing everything you've been doing for the faculty. And what we want, yeah, I'm not a part of LSS, but at least we all want the general good of LSS. Yeah, law has always been our pride in this school, like second to engineering. So, it's all fine. So, Joshua, thank you very much for your time, and we really appreciate, you know, the build up after the event and everything that happened. We were able to put that behind us, and you know, for the progress of LSS and to foster really good relationship between what's up in the lag and the faculty. So, but Ben, before we go, we'd like to play a game, because to like at least to relax the atmosphere. Yeah, we do play a game. So we have to play a game. Just chill, like it's a nice game, and just basically to know how much of an aquakite you are. So if I ask you now, like Joshua, how much of an aquakite do you think you are? Can you just rate yourself?
Well, I won't put myself there. So let's say 6/10.
Okay. I feel like you are more of LSS man than aquakites.
Yes.
So no problem, but we shall see. The first question I have here. Okay, so where are main odd? You know main odd, right? And multipurpose odd located.
Where is main odd?
Yes.
Multipurpose hall is at close to Wema Bank.
Okay.
That's all those Jalilio Motola Hall and Co. Then no, that's multipurpose hall.
Yeah.
Now main hall, I think that was where freshers did their matriculation. But for main hall is at this place, close to the library. Yes, so that's main order, that's multipurpose hall. I think it's Julius Berger or something. The name used to mix up. I know Julius Berger is the one close to engineering there, I know.
It's
JF Ajayi Auditorium. Yes, I know that. I mix both. One is at engineering and one is
there. So, this question, what year was Unilag established?
In independence, it was 1 year after independence, 1961 or 1960. I'll be wait. Unilag was established where?
You're close to the
answer. Yeah, actually, you're very close. Maybe you should just add one more.
1962.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I know that.
So, who was the first VC of Unilag?
This is serious. First BC. Honestly, I don't have an idea. Okay. Is it King Jaja?
Can Jaja be BC?
Okay. No. Okay, wait.
An ancient.
Okay. This is an hostel.
Yes.
That is Enujoku.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I saw during the
congregation. Yeah. So without counting, how many hostels are in Unilag Akoka campus?
Can you give me a number?
Without counting?
Yeah.
Ha. No, this is all wrong now. Yes, I want to name them. So we have Jaja, we have Mariri, okay. We have is Shoda Ende part of it?
Yes.
Okay, Shoda Ende. We have Enujoku.
Okay.
Those are the male hostels. Then for female, we have Fagua, we have MTH, we have Kofo, we have Amina, we have Women's Society. Yeah, I think those are the, and then we have El Kanemi, the new, and then we have the new one at the gate that was commissioned last month. Makama. Ah, imagine as I speak,
just worry me. LSS president didn't mention you guys.
They will come for, they will say we are defaming. Please, oh. So, should we play this concentration
game? Yeah.
Do you know concentration game? Name.
So,
basically, I'll just give you a random topic or subject related to your lang. You just have to name those things without hesitating. So we are all playing. Yeah. Yes, we listen to Unilag. So, name of faculties in Unilag.
Law.
Is it your
final?
Final
is going to start.
God. Actually, that's what I meant to say. Names of faculties in Unilag. Law.
Management sciences.
Environmental science.
Science.
Engineering.
Science.
Names of restaurants in Shop 10, Yamoria, Choose Spot, Abula Village, Salado, Shoe Spark, Calabar Kitchen, Shop 13.
Calabar Kitchen.
I already mentioned science canteen. Okay, that's the end of the game. 2001. 2001 is the deadest place to you, like, by the way. They said the worst food. You eat there?
No. I said, like, you said that, like, it's a word.
Okay. You don't want to be associated with my
exactly.
words. Okay, no problem. So, yes, just a random. You just pick what you prefer.
Yeah.
It's a this or that game. Loyalty or competence?
Competence.
Lagoon Front or Love Garden?
Love Garden.
Because it's closed. Ronaldo or Messi?
Messi. Anytime, any day.
You see? Ronaldo, you see?
Are you Ronaldo?
This is a Ronaldo fan. He has to leave, though. Let him leave our faculty.
See, this is what I did in the lesson.
Leave our faculty for us, please. Abula Village or Yamoria?
Yamoria.
Blessed or Shop 10?
Shop 10.
Physical or virtual classes?
Physical classes.
Love or money?
If I say this in on air.
Love.
Dating your classmates or not?
Okay, is it like now or...
Generally, do you prefer?
Would you date your classmate or not? Have you done it? Section 37 on privacy.
People are or not.
But like both, now either now. For me, either.
You don't mind it. Okay. 8 a.m. class or 4 to 6 p.m. class?
8 a.m. Let me suffer in the morning.
I just go to bed.
So that was it.
So, all right. So, it's actually it's very entertaining and educating as well. Talking to you, Joshua, and we wish you all the best. And we hope you steer this faculty to a greater part. And so, what would you like to say to LSS students listening to What's Up Unilag right now?
Okay. So, first and foremost, I thank What's Up Unilag for coming. I mean, I appreciate their time and their efforts, and also bringing some of the things that hitherto I didn't notice, you know, to my attention. So to all law students listening to What's Up Unilag right away, I would encourage you to rep our faculty well, you know, keep doing your best wherever you find yourself. And I would also like to leave everyone with this quote. It's as regards success in any endeavor. And that is that the road to success is not straight. There's a curve called failure, a loop called confusion, speed booms called friends, red lights called enemies, and caution lights called family. But if you have a car called hard work, an engine called perseverance, and a spare called determination, you will make it to a way called success. So this underscores the fact that to achieve any great thing in life, you have to persevere, you have to be determined, and you have to focus. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. We've been looking forward to this. I just want to say that may your reign be, how do they say that thing? Maybe peaceful, maybe maybe blissful. Maybe blissful. And I want to speak to you. I want to say that I hope for, and I'm speaking on behalf of all our students, I hope for an LSS. I want an LSS where, you know, everybody, every law student is happy, is genuinely in a good piece of state of mind, mental health, while troubled, while very troubled. And that's the thing. That's what it means to be a law student. For you to be, you know, constantly depressed. Depression is a very serious thing. And I hope that the LSS brings about genuine ways to mitigate our problems. Like, you know, our problems. You're also a law student. And I hope that you wear our shoes. Aside from the fact that you're in this office, I hope that this is not a bubble for you, because you have some privileges as the president. I hope that you step out of it and you genuinely see our troubles and you walk the shoes. Anytime that you have to face authorities, I hope that you genuinely go as a law student and not as the president of the LSS. So that's just what I want to tell you, and on behalf of every law student that is listening currently, thank you so much. And this,
I may the higher forces be with you. We went good
for, and may the odds be in our favor.
Exactly.
So yes, thank you so much. And this is where we draw the curtains. Till next time. I don't know, we may be your faculty next, we don't know. So yes, your presidents are not answering. Let's drag them all.
Yeah.
Your presidents are not answering.
Our calls, yeah, yeah.
They're not answering our calls.
We have other faculties.
We have been to engineering.
No, we're not going to engineering.
Sorry.
My one is different. Like, we spoke in person.
And we've been to management.
We've been to social science.
Which social science? Well, science. We've been to management science. Your faculty presidents are not listening to us. We're coming for them. Don't worry.
No, we will tell them where we did it. So
don't worry. Thank you guys for listening. See you next time. Bye.